beams of the truck, the physician checked for a pulse, then listened for a heartbeat. Neither was present. Opening the baby's mouth, she checked for obstructions. Then, tilting the head backward to open the throat, Mildred inhaled and exhaled into the tiny mouth. Minutes later, J.B. and a shivering Christy struggled to the top of the bluff, and Doc draped the bearskin coat over her. She nodded her thanks and watched along with everybody else as Mildred continued breathing into the infant's mouth without stopping. Minutes passed in silence, until, with a ragged cough, the baby vomited some water, then started to cry as if there were no tomorrow.
Alive! My baby is alive!
Sarah gathered the girl into her arms. Dean gave her an old blanket from the truck, and the woman wrapped the child up like a miniature mummy. J.B. draped his leather jacket over Mildred and helped her stand. Mildred was close to hyperventilation from doing CPR for so long.
She'll be fine. Just keep her warm.
Thank you.
Hector, the father, slid off his coat to drape it over the mother and child.
Everybody in the truck! We better get you folks into dry clothes fast.
Hey, where's Stephen?
Dean glanced around.
Got into campfire.
Yeah, right.
Gathering their weapons and clothing, the group climbed into the rear of the flatbed.
What's your name, lady?
Sarah held the baby tightly. The gears engaged with a grinding noise, and the wag started to roll over the rough ground at a good clip.
Wyeth. Mildred Wyeth.
The parents exchanged looks, and the woman nodded. Hector smiled.
Baby's name is Mildred now.
Thank you. That is the highest fee I have received from a patient in 100 years.
Hey, I thought you guys were hunters, but that swampy sure caught you by surprise.
Bob didn't take offense.
Our hunters. We were watching the creek.
Clem rested his chin on the flintlock of his musket.
But this mutie dropped out of a tree.
Oh, so that's what was in the trees making all the noise.
Bob shrugged.
I suppose. Crazy thing must have been mad with hunger.
Get hungry enough, you try anything.
True enough.
The mixed group settled into the rhythms of the rocking vehicle, confident that dry clothes and food were only moments away. Over in the corner, shivering under her heavy coat, Christy violently sneezed, then did it twice more. But nobody thought anything of it at the time. The patched sides of the canvas tent moved with every gust of wind, but the flaps were pegged tight and the only breeze came through the front opening. An oil lantern gave off a wealth of light, but only faint traces of heat. A few wooden boxes were used as seats by the armed men, blasters were stacked neatly near ammo boxes, and the carved wooden pole supporting the roof was decorated with clusters of dried human scalps.
Any word?
One of the men had a cigarette dangling from his mouth. A long, jagged scar traversed his face from his forehead down into his shirt and out of sight. The messenger shifted his weight from foot to foot.
Nope. Rode here as fast as I could. Spotted them at the old farm, tangled with a mud puppy.
Anybody die?
A kid, I think.
Not an adult. Good.
The big man dropped the butt onto the dirt floor and crushed it under a boot.
Still, I hate to attack without a signal. Maybe Felipe's working some angle we don't know about. Don't want to queer a good deal.
Could be the others found out and aced him.
Could be.
Scarface lit a fresh cigarette off the lantern flame. Sitting back, he drew in a satisfying lungful and blew a smoke ring at the ceiling.
That would be too bad. He was good at the job. Guess we'll have to find another cheese for the trap.
Trouble is, they keep stopping at random spots and are avoiding every trap we have.
Somebody in that group has brains. But no matter. They can't reach Front Royal without going through the pass. When will the convoy reach it?
The messenger gave a toothy grin.
2 days, maybe sooner.
Then that's where we hit them.
Scarface smiled, showing that his teeth had been filed to sharp points.
Easy pickings, and food for the whole damn winter.
2 days later, Ryan braked the lead truck to a rattling halt on a dirt road and stared hard around them, his hands white on the steering wheel. The land had been getting higher, more mountainous. The road they were taking now sliced along the steep side of a small mountain, a foothill compared to the rocky giants in the Shens, yet sloped enough to slow their travel to a crawl. Stephen kept insisting that the wags could take the inclines at full speed, but Ryan had no wish to blow an engine block and leave the convoy stranded in Mutey territory. But the section ahead of them was as level as a table, smooth and without potholes or rain gullies. The very fact it was in good condition made the man suspicious. A large grassy field rose sharply to the right, disappearing into a granite outcropping, and on their left was a dense wall of battered trees. Listening to the sounds of the forest, Ryan glanced at the passenger van behind him and waved at Mildred. She flashed her lights in return. A few days off her feet and the physician was completely healed. Only now Christy was suffering through a nasty cold and spent most of her days sleeping, most of her nights sniffling. It was odd how it had come on so fast. That dip in the creek had to have done her some damage.
Well, what are we waiting for? We're less than a day from Royal. Let's shake a leg.
Gunning the engine to keep it from stalling again, Ryan ignored him and checked their fuel level. Less than a quarter of a tank. Even if they could, running wasn't a viable option. He called out the window.
Hey, JB, you see this?
Not blind yet.
Annoyed, Stephen scanned the trees and bushes with growing confusion.
What are you talking about? Keep driving, the road is clear.
The pass is anything but clear.
Ryan took the stire off the dashboard and worked the bolt to chamber around. He placed it on the seat between them, then checked the clip in the 6-hour.
We're sitting in the middle of an ambush, and the next move I make may chill the lot of us, so shut the fuck up and let me think.
Holding onto the wooden slats, JB poked his head through the window.
This is really bad. I don't see how we can get out of this trap.
Buy us some time.
Ryan turned to the caravan owner.
Take out that scrap of map and pretend you're checking something. Be casual. Act natural.
Sweat dampening his brow, the fat man hurried to obey, wondering what they saw that he couldn't. Briefly, Ryan considered they were wrong, but the fact said no. There were no birds singing in the trees, which was the first thing that caught his attention. A lack of wildlife was always a bad sign, as it usually meant someone was about. That was when he noticed the trees on the left side of the road had most of their bark removed for about a yard or more at ground level, the exposed green wood crushed and battered. With the hill to the right, it only made sense that some boulders had rolled down and crashed into the trees doing damage. Only there were no gaps in the boulders high on the hill, and none on the road or amid the trees.
We're in a killing box.
Ryan gauged the distance to the end of the pass. 100 yards at least, so a quick sprint was completely out of the question, as was trying to back the convoy up and avoid the ambush. Only a fool would give victims a way out, and whoever designed this was no fool. He recalled the traitor once saying that when the front door was blocked, jump out the window. But where was the window here? There had to be one.
If we're in a trap, how come nobody is attacked yet?
Stephen hid behind the torn map. Then he lowered the ratty sheet of paper.
Oh, I understand. Well, I'm not paying a bonus for battling imagined dangers. You had a chance to cut a deal for Jack. Now just drive the truck and stop acting tough.
Coldly, Ryan weighed the option of killing the idiot so he wouldn't do something stupid in the forthcoming fight and get everybody chilled, but decided against it. They were going to need every blaster. He might be a fool, but Stephen could pull a trigger, and that was good enough for today. JB spoke from the back.
We're taking too long. They're going to get wise.
Pulling the choke completely out, Ryan turned the ignition a few times and let the engine rev without catching.
That should do it. Go check under the hood. Make them think we're having trouble.
Right.
JB jumped to the ground and casually sauntered to the front of the vehicle.
And you, go get some more fuel from the last truck, and as you come back here, give some to each wag and pass along the warning to the others.
You really are serious. But if this is an ambush, then we should...
Ryan jabbed the barrel of his Sig Sauer into the man's soft gut.
Get!
Okay, okay!
Stephen jerked open the door and stumbled out, nearly falling in his haste to get away. Shouldering his Uzi, J.B. lifted the hood and a squeal of rusty hinges. Now the two men could talk without raising their voices. J.B. pretended to